Good evening, everybody.
I may be very scattered tonight, but I trust the Lord will help me. I'll just pray that He gives me help. Our Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son to pay the price for our sin. Thank you for this gospel that we can share. Just give me the right words to say, and that this gospel would be presented clearly. Pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, I want to talk a bit about something that I hold very dear to my heart, and that is a relationship with Christ. So, you can talk about, many people are wondering, is God real? There's lots of things, there's lots of evidence, you might say. You can look in the sky, you see the stars at night, you see the clouds moving in the daytime, you look at all that creation and you have to think, there must be a creator. The Bible talks about this in Psalms. Psalms 19 says, 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a word or sound. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world." So, the Bible says, everything in the sky declares, it just shouts out, God. God created all things. It speaks of it in Romans 2. It speaks all through the Bible just about God and God's creation, that He created all things. The next thing you might ask, you can say, okay, yeah, surely the Bible says that, but is the Bible true? The Bible, if you read it, the Bible clearly at least claims to be God's Word. And everything in the Bible claims to be God's actions and God's words, God speaking, God doing things. And then you can turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. Verse 15, this is talking about the Word of God that we're holding right now. "You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." You can also look at prophecy in the Bible. There's lots of prophecies, so that is someone speaking of an event to come. So there's prophecy about Jesus' birth. There's Isaiah 7. I'm not going to turn to it, but Isaiah 7 talks about a virgin will bear a son, and he will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that's speaking of Jesus, and then if you read through the Gospels, it talks about Jesus coming into the world, and that miracle that happened. Mary, a virgin, gave birth to the Son of God. There's also lots of prophecy about the betrayal, the death, the resurrection, all of those things of Jesus. I can turn to a few of those. I'll turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And this is the NLT, so you guys can listen. It's just a more understandable version. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, we've strayed away. We've turned away from God. We have left God's paths to follow our own paths. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity. The Lord laid on him the sins of us all. And you can read through the Gospels. It talks about Jesus. He went to the cross willingly. But before that, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was whipped, he went through an awful punishment before he died, and he went through that for our sins. And then they nailed him to a cross, and his blood was shed, and all that was done for us, so that we could be reconciled to him. So then you might ask, why did God create you and me? I enjoyed Michael's thoughts this morning. He was talking about Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, it was talking about part of why God created us. It was the 24 elders. There was elders praising the Lord. But really, this is like how I feel about God. Verse 11 of Revelation 4 says, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." So God created us so he could receive the glory and the honor. He created all things because they please him. Like, we please him. His creation was created to please God. God created humans also to know him and enjoy fellowship with him. You can read the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis. It's talking about Adam and Eve, the first humans. They were created. They could walk and talk with God whenever they wanted, and that's why they were created, to have an amazing relationship with him. But you don't have to read that far to see that they sinned and they were separated from God, banished. We are created so that we can bring all our troubles to God here on this earth. Matthew 11 and 28 speaks of, we can come to him when we're weary. We can come to him when we have trials. And he will give us the rest. He can give us rest for our souls. We are also created to find hope in him. We're not created to find our hope in anything in this world. We are created to have our hope in God, in Jesus Christ. You might ask, why do we need saving? Why do we need to be saved? Romans 3 talks about this. Romans 3 and verse 10. This is quoting a psalm. So David, 1,000 years before Christ, said these words, but then, yeah. So Romans 3 and verse 10 says, "As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. None does good. No one does good. Not a single one." And then it continues to talk about you and me. We are sinners, and we've turned away from God, and we need someone to come in to bring us back to God, to reconcile us to God. Verse number 23 says, all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard. And those sins, as you could turn to chapter 6, those sins have consequences. Verse number 23 of Romans 6 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, the wages of sin is death. So, there's a punishment for all of humanity for sinning against God. That's death. But it's not just death, like as we think of it, like dying, but it is eternal death and separation from God. Mark chapter 9 talks about that. And we know that as hell. Since I'm feeling very scattered tonight, I'm turning to a lot of the Bible because I can't really think to put thoughts together, so I'm just reading the Word of God so that, you know, God will speak through me in His Word. So, verse number 43 of Mark 10 says, or Mark 9, sorry. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off, because it is better to enter eternal life with only foot than to be thrown into hell with 2 feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, because it is better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. That's talking about hell. And it's saying some pretty bold things. Like, if this hand was causing me to go to hell, it's better to cut it off and go to heaven. But if you really look into that, it's not your hand that causes those things. It's your heart, because your heart causes your hand to do a sin. Your heart causes your eye to look at something you shouldn't. Your heart is behind everything. So it's really, you could change the wording, or you could say this is saying, if your heart is causing you to go to hell, it is better to surrender your heart to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ than to just keep going your own way. But then there's another way. John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking about what He prepares for anyone. This is what Jesus did for you and me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so you will always be with me where I am, and that you know the way where I'm going. Thomas was asking him, we don't know where you're going. But Jesus said, I am the way. So come to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus went and died on the cross for our sins, so that He could be the way, the truth, and the life. That there's no other way, as it says somewhere in Acts, it says, there is no other way which a man can be saved, something along those lines. Jesus is the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. Because my sin nailed him to the cross, and he took the punishment that I deserved so that I can trust in Jesus, so that I can experience eternal life through him. Maybe that's scattered and that didn't make sense, but yeah. How can you be saved? Ephesians 2. How can I be saved? How can I have a relationship with the one who created me? And how can I have a purpose for the rest of eternity? Ephesians 2, verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. It's by grace through faith. And you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. It's not a reward for good things you've done. So no one can boast about it. So it's by grace through faith. So God saved me through his grace. And grace is something I didn't deserve, so he just showered his love on me. He saved me by his grace when I believed, so I can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Yeah, that is what I got. I trusted in Christ when I was six. He gave me peace. He gave me purpose. I have a purpose in this life. I can share the gospel with others. I fail all the time, but I can try my best. And I've just seen God work in my life, and I just want God to work in all of your guys' lives. We all sinned. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died for your sins. And God offers forgiveness, and I just pray that you would accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word.